I definitely wanted to share something that was passionate and heartfelt. Pastor and I and the leadership team here, our greatest goal for everybody is to have a deeper, more personal relationship. And I know that I've come in blocks where it's like, I get so far with God, and then there's like this intimacy block, you know? And it's like I almost pull away, and there's always been barriers. And God, over the years, has broken those barriers and released those barriers and let me draw closer. And I think this is going to help you, because our deepest desire for each and every person here at this church is to have that intimate personal relationship with Jesus, because that is the root system for our whole life. And if you think about it, a root system, if it goes deep, no matter the storms that come, it's going to stand in the midst of it. And that's what God is wanting. He wants our roots to grow deep, and that can only happen with a personal relationship with Him. And so the scripture that we pray over, you guys, is Colossians 1. It's one of the ones we pray over, everybody, but I think it kind of gives the whole heart of what we want for each and every one person here. And that we never cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in every respect, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness and patience, and joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. And that is our prayer for you guys, is we want that for you in your walk, that you can be that light to the world and have those root systems and be pleasing to the Lord and be filled with His power and His might. So let's just bow and pray, and we'll just get into this then. Lord Jesus, we just praise You and thank You that You loved us and You sought after us and You fought the battle for us so that we don't have to, that we have that victory through the blood of Jesus. Thank You for such love, Father, that You sent Jesus. And then when Jesus went to be with You, You sent us the Holy Spirit, so we're never alone. We just thank You, Holy Spirit, that Your presence is here. You're going to touch our hearts. You're going to help us to grow more intimate, more deeper in faith with You today, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's going to be kind of different because, like Jason said, I told him I wanted to share something that I'm very passionate about. And Moms in Prayer has been such a life-changing experience for me. I can remember going to Bible college, and when I started to pray, I went to a prayer meeting with all these people, and I was 23, and everybody prayed so good. And I do not have a big vocabulary. I'm not really quick-witted and good with words and stuff like that. And so I was very intimidated. And so I thought, I am never going to pray in front of anybody. But then somebody gave me and told me about a book that you can get, and it has topics, and then it has scriptures for every topic. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to do that. Well, I had fear in my life, so I looked up fear, and I started praying those scriptures instead of praying my words. And I thought, I can do this. It gave me confidence because I was praying what God said. I didn't have to worry about what I had to think about. You know, and then all of a sudden that word started getting in my heart, and then I volunteered because we had to do service work for in Bible school. I volunteered to do phone ministry where people would call in and pray, ask for prayer, and I had my handy dandy book, so whatever topic they said, I just flipped to that and pray those scriptures, so I didn't have to think. And so that's how I got where I love prayer now. And so most of the time when you hear me pray, I'm not praying my words. I'm praying His words. And that's what gave me confidence. And so today I know that God wants that personal relationship with us, because when He first created man, He created us for fellowship with Him. He would walk in the evenings with Adam every night. And it said he would talk with them and walk with them, and he just wanted that fellowship with him. And he is a good God, and he had all these good things for us. And all of a sudden, our sin and rebellion opened the door to take those good and blind us to them, because it brought darkness in. And so when that happened, Satan comes in then, and we gave him the authority here on this earth. And Satan came in, and he wanted to distort and rob and steal everything God had for us. And because of that, then, we are going to have to get where our life says, Jesus, you've paid the price. You've beat back the devil. He no longer has to be the God of the little g God of this world in my life. I can have you as my God. I can be taking my rightful authority back of who I am in Christ Jesus. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And so we have this new, the good can come again. But we do have to battle the darkness because of sin and rebellion that's here. And so I was looking at, you know, what does it really take to have that personal relationship with God? And I see where he's given us six things that will really help us in our relationship, that personal relationship with him. The first one is the Word of God, the Bible. I'll tell you, this is a lifeline to us because it's something we can hang on to. It's something that we physically can see. It's something we can grab onto when we're struggling. We have something to declare, the truth versus the lie. And that's why this word is so powerful. And in John 1:14, and I wrote it down on the back of the paper because I don't know this one as well. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This word, the reason the Bible is so different than any other book in the whole world is because it's Jesus. Jesus is the Word made flesh. It says, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word will never pass away. Why? Because the Word of God is Jesus. That's why we have to hold on to this word. That is why this word is so vital and why we keep pushing. Read your word. Put the word in. Even if you don't feel like you're getting it and understanding it, just keep putting it in. Keep putting it in. Because it's like putting Jesus in. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is on the inside of you, transforming the way you think, the way you feel, the way you respond. Because he is alive. He is active. And he's doing the work inside of you. But if you don't know the word, if you don't have it in you, it doesn't have the power to do the transformation. I look at my life, I was such a roller coaster of emotions. And I just kept putting the word in. And like with fear, I had fear for 30 years. And I would get paralyzed with fear. I'd have to stop and quote scripture before I could move again at night if I was home alone and I heard noises. And I just see how the word, all of a sudden, the root system got pulled out. That ugly root system that Satan had planted in there with fear got pulled out because of the word of God I put in. And I could say, I don't have to live like this. Other people don't live like this. Oh my goodness, I don't want this anymore. And I got delivered. But it was putting the word in, putting the word in, putting the word in. And so this is something physically that we can hold on to. It says it's a sword. It's a weapon. And so this is our weapon. Then, the second thing I see is prayer. And prayer is such a wonderful thing because if you think about a relationship, it's what you put into the relationship that makes it healthy, full. You know what I mean? That's what makes it effective. And so you have to give time to God. You have to build that relationship. You have to listen as well as talk, as well as vent, because I mean, in relationships, we vent, you know? You got to be real with God. You got to talk to him. And then we can ask, you know, and ask for things. God is wanting us to have that relationship and talking with him. And then the third one is worship. And, you know, I always thought worship was because God commanded that we're supposed to worship him and all the angels worship him and, you know, he is worthy of our worship. But this morning it hit me. Worship is really not for God. He doesn't need puffed up. He knows who he is. Worship is for us. Worship is us saying, God, this is who you are. God, you are really great. God, you can do anything. God, you really love me. God, you've taken my shame and my pain and you've healed me. You can do it all. It's for us to realize the God that we serve. That's what worship is for. And then it says his presence. He indwells in the presence of his worship. Why? Because all of a sudden we've opened up our hearts and it's building our faith up and we're saying, God, this is who you are. Wow, I want that. And he says, oh, now I can move. You've opened up your heart. Now I can perform something in you. Now I can touch this situation because you've entered into my presence. And then comes obedience. Ooh, that's the tough one. Okay? But obedience is action. Obedience is doing. It's really easy to want our kids to obey, you know? But how about us? Are we obeying what God says? Are we obeying and doing and following? All right, and then the third one is surrender to the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful that God has not left us here alone, because without the Holy Spirit, we can't do any of the others. We can't, you know, put the word in. We can't worship right. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is everything to us. He's our lead, our guide, our comfort, our strength, our wisdom, our truth. He is going to be our protector. He is going to be our everything. So the Holy Spirit, we can't factor him out. We need him. It's just a total surrender. And then the sixth one is fellowship. We need each other. We need to be encouraged. When somebody is down, we need to be there to help lift them up and pick them up. We need to help each other, you know, talk to each other. We need to laugh together. We need to have fun together. And we need to do a work to minister to others together. Because one person doing something alone, have you ever tried to clean something like a whole house by yourself? But if you get the whole family involved and everybody's got a drawer, it goes so much quicker and it multiplies your time and it multiplies the effort and things get really accomplished. And that's what the body of Christ is. That's why we need each other. And so those are the six things I see to really help us in our personal relationship with God. Now, I'm the kind of person who I get inspired and I hear sermons and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really good. But then I'll go, but how do I do that? I'm not really good at formulating until I see it. And so that's what we are going to do today. So ushers, there's sheets, and I'm not sure if everybody got one of the sheets and a pen, but if you could pass out those sheets so everybody has one, I'm going to lead you through what we do at Moms in Prayer. And we're going to actually do it, and so it's going to be a little different, but it's I learn best by doing and seeing it, how it's done and stuff. So raise your hand if you do not have one of those sheets and a pen. And so just pass those out if you can. Thank you. And then I'm going to give you some scriptures to write down. So this is how we do Moms in Prayer. On that sheet, you are going to have where it talks about praise. So what we do at Moms in Prayer is we take one attribute of God, and we decide to take some scriptures, so we're taking the word, and we're finding out what does the word say about God in that attribute. Well, my attribute today is God is light. So God is light, and so I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures, and then we're going to look those up, we're going to read them, and then we're going to sing a song and just worship him and praise him. Then after that, we're going to go into a quiet time. I'll just kind of lead through this. A quiet time of confession. Because, you see, confession is where we prepare our heart. The praise is where we see, whoa, God, you are so big. Now, we want to prepare our heart and confess any sin, get rid of everything that would hinder, because sin hinders our prayers. Unforgiveness hinders our prayers. And we want to prepare our heart so that we can ask and have not our prayers hindered. And then the next thing is thanksgiving. And this is where you guys are going to participate. You're going to participate in the praise part two, reading scriptures. But after we get done with the song, we kind of just take a moment to praise him. Okay, so anybody who wants to pray, and I'm going to just ask for two or three people to stand up and just, you know, whatever you feel in your heart about after we've read all the scriptures, after we've sung the song, if you have something that's in you, I want you to just stand up and say it. Pray it to Jesus. God, thank you that you are the light, okay? But you'll get inspired by the scriptures and the song. Believe me, something will rise up within you. So two or three people, stand up, do that. Then we'll move into confession. And then we're going to go into thanksgiving. And this is another time where you'll participate. And this is, can be, thank you, God, that, you know, even in the midst of this weather, everybody's been safe. Thank you, God, you know, that my kids made it home for Christmas. I had all three kids home for Christmas. Thank you, God. It was awesome. So special. Thank you, God. Jeff is back and restored and walking and healed. I mean, you know, we have so much to thank. And thanking is really good because it is so easy to remember the bad things. But when we have to stop and think, okay, what good things are in my life? What good things do I have? Oh, wow, we have heat. Thank you, God. You know, things we take for granted. We have such a cushy life here in America. So, I mean, there's so much to be thankful for. It can be the smallest thing or it can be the biggest thing. It doesn't matter. But just to stop and reprogram ourselves to start, think good. Think something, you know, start seeing the good. Start being thankful. Kind of like what Jason was talking about. And then it goes into intercession. And this is where we have our prayer requests. Of course, we want to pray for continued recuperation for Jeff, Mike, Art, Michelle, Judy, Dave. We have prayer requests right here that we can pray for. And so, and if you have any other thing, you just stand up and pray it out. Yes, God, we just thank you, you know. It could be for our school and our youth. I'll tell you, that's what Moms in Prayer is really all about, is that we stand for our children. We're standing against the effects and the problems that they have and face every day. You know, so this is where we're going to, and you participate in that too. All right, so we're just going to go through and do it. All right, so I'm going to give you some scriptures. Everybody can write them down. Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1. John 8, 12. John 8, 12. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. 1 John 1, 5 and 7. 1 John 1, 5 and 7. And then 1 Peter 2, 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. Now, I did put Bibles in the midst on the chairs underneath the seats. If you guys need a Bible, I'd like this side right here, like maybe the first few rows here, the first two rows, if you guys could look up Matthew 2, 1 and 2. There was one right there, a Bible. Oh, okay. Isaiah, can I have the back rows there? Just in this left corner, look up Isaiah 61. This back row over here, look up John 8, 12. Rebecca and you guys back. This, just this section right here, the first two chairs here, look up Colossians 1, 13 and 14. You guys are going to look up here in the middle, are going to look up 1 John 1, 5 through 7, 5 and 7. And then this last row right here is going to look up 1 Peter 2, 9. So that whole section there. And Caleb is going to come around with a microphone, and I just need volunteers to take time to read these for me then. So let me know when you've got your scripture if you need me to say it again. All right, we're going to start over here, Caleb. Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Does somebody want to read that? Julia, would you want to read that? So this is God is light. Well, wait, take the microphone. I'm going to have you take the mic.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him."
All right, so we see that there was a star, a brand new star, when Jesus was born. And that star lit up the sky, and it pointed to Jesus, so that these people knew, wow, a new king had been born. Not only did they see that star, but they followed that star, and that star led them right to Jesus. That starlight led them right to Jesus. So Jesus is always, we need to be pointing to him, and we need to follow his star. Okay, next verse, Isaiah 61. Is it Amanda? Did I have you guys do?
I can.
Okay. Pass.
Thank you. Isaiah 6:1.
I can't remember. Who did I have do Isaiah 60?
It's 6:1, right?
61.
61. See, that's
correct. I'm sorry. I messed up, I think.
That's okay.
I think it was the back row. Sorry, you guys.
I don't care. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, do.
Okay.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
God is saying, arise, shine, for the light has come. Jesus has come. And his glory, which means his presence, his powerful, life-giving presence, has come. All right, next verse, John 8:12. Rebecca.
Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life."
If we follow Jesus, he pulls us out of the darkness of this world, the lies of this world, the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, the shame. Darkness is always out there. Satan uses it. He is the one who tries to defeat us. And the light has come, and the light pulls us out of darkness. He's always wanting to pull us out. All right, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Go ahead, Mike.
He rescued us from the control of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He set us free through the Son and forgave our sins.
All right. He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have forgiveness. There's nothing better. His light is always there for us, and he wants to pull us from darkness. All right. Then 1 John 1, 5 through 7.
Put your glasses on.
This is the message which we have heard of him. He declared unto you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleansed us from them all.
Amen. God is light. God is good. He is not a bad God. He is a good God. And he says if we walk in the fellowship of his light, that we're going to have fellowship with one another. And it's going to draw us to each other. And it's going to encourage each other. And then we have rescued from that darkness that tries to beat us down and hold us in bondage. Last scripture, 1 Peter 2:9. Charlie, wait for the microphone there, Charlie. 2 and 9. Chapter 2, verse 9.
Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God and the Father throughout the sacrificing work of a spirit to obedience to...
Is that 1 Peter? 1 Peter 2:9?
Oh. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special portion, that you may declare the praise of High who calls you out of darkness into his holy, wonderful light.
Amen. We are chosen of God for that good life. We are chosen, we're a royal priesthood, we're a people of God's own possession, that we are to proclaim the excellencies of him. And if we're not walking in the light, how can we proclaim the excellencies of God? So we've got to draw close to the light. We need to follow that light. God is the light that takes that darkness and wipes it out. And so I just want to take this time now. We're going to just